Today is the day our bishop has set aside as Stewardship of Creation Sunday. Our celebration follows the national celebration of Earth Day, which was last Sunday. As is so often the case, the world and the church are not following the same calendar. Stewardship of Creation Sunday has traditionally been set for the Sunday following Earth Day, which seems appropriate. This time for being especially intentional about our care of and for our creation took on a new depth of meaning last year when Stewardship of Creation Sunday fell just 4 days after many deadly tornadoes ripped through our state, causing physical, mental, and emotional damage that will take decades to repair, if it ever can be. Homes can be built, and trees indeed will grow back in places that still look like a war zone a year out after that horrible day. But the emotional damage may never be restored. How can we make sense of such devastation? How can we understand our place in creation when creation can be so violent? Ultimately, we get back to the age-old question, the very one Job demanded that God respond to. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is it that on one street, a house can be totally ripped off its foundation and scattered for miles and miles when the one next door stands entirely unscathed? We want answers. We need to make sense out of events that seem senseless. The problem is, we cannot make sense of the senseless, no matter how hard we try. The pieces do not add up. Bad things should happen to bad people, and good people should live happily ever after. Those who are living in poverty to begin with should not have the very little bit that they do have taken away from them. These sorts of horrific tragedies do not make any sense. And when life events don't make sense, we look for someone to assign the blame. Sometimes we can find individuals to blame for our tragic outcomes. There are those who drive too fast, drink too much, eat the wrong sorts of foods. There are even folks who, for reasons known only to them, kill other people, even innocent people. But when a tragic event is an act of nature, like a tornado or earthquake or hurricane, there is no one to blame but God. In doing so, I think we miss the point entirely. The point being that God does not cause earthquakes or hurricanes, not even tornadoes. Your diagnosis of cancer is not punishment. Nor is the loss of your child. God does not like the rich and successful more than the poor and downtrodden. He does not hate Williams or Webster's Chapel, not even New Orleans or Haiti. Think about this for a minute. If God punished people by giving them cancer or cities by sending hurricanes, tornadoes, or earthquakes, people like Osama bin Laden would not have needed to be found by special Navy SEALs. He would have been taken down by God on 9/12, if not before. And no matter Pat Robertson's opinion of New Orleans, there are surely more evil-ridden cities. But if God does not cause bad things to happen, where is God when they do? And most of all, why does God not prevent these horrific events? I would love to be able to give you a clear and concise answer to the question about why God does not prevent these horrific events, but I can't. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think anyone does. What I do know is that God is there. God is here. That God does not cause pain and hurt, trauma and tragedy, but that God is there with us in those times. God has a different picture than we do, a fuller picture, the whole picture, and we have only one small piece. When we experience devastation in ways like we did on April 27th, 2011, one thing becomes very clear, and that is we are very small indeed, and that no matter how much we think we have control of our lives, we do not. Our perspective shifts in times of crisis, and in those times, a window is opened for us to draw closer to God, to come to an awareness of the vastness of God and our place, a place that is both very, very small and at the same time very, very crucial. We're like a SIM card. You know, this very tiny storage device? Your cell phone and your camera both have one. They cannot work without it. It's very small, quite minute. This is actually one of the bigger ones. It can be lost quite easily. On its own, a SIM card has no power, none whatsoever. But put it in a cell phone or a camera, and they each work just the way they're supposed to. Did you know that the acronym SIM, S-I-M, stands for Subscriber Identity Module? That a SIM card tracks your identity? If we are God's SIM cards, do we track God's identity? Certainly, we claim to be made in God's image. We have been told that we have God's imprint. But do or are we subscriber identity modules for God? Can God be seen through us? As we think of stewardship of creation, how we care for all that God has created, especially as we think about that one year after the horrible tornadoes that struck our state, is there a place that we see ourselves acting in God's stead? There are many stories of how God's people responded to each other in the aftermath of the tornadoes. Again and again, God's goodness was revealed through his people as they stepped in, stepped up, and stepped out to assist their neighbors in need. One story in our diocese stood out at our diocesan convention. Kirvin Jones is the pastor of Third Street Church of God in Greensboro, Alabama, the town where Sawyerville Day Camp is now housed. Kirvin has been an instrumental member of the Sawyerville Day Camp board, and while his theology differs quite a bit from the theology in the Episcopal Church in the Diocese of Alabama, he has been an ardent supporter of the camp and of the work of the Episcopal Church in the Black Belt. His church consists of a small African-American congregation with a very big heart. Each week, the camp is in session. The ladies of the church provide a meal for the entire staff, and Kirvin leads worship. This is truly the blending of two worlds. Last year, on April 27th, Kirvin's home and all its contents were destroyed. His next-door neighbors, an elderly couple, lost their lives. Kirvin might have lost his life as well if he had been in his house, but he wasn't. He was at the church with a young man who needed his attention. Nothing was left of his home when he returned the next day. Nothing at all. That was the experience of so many across our state. When Kirvin's situation was made known to our diocesan response team, we went to work immediately. We, being the Episcopal Diocese of Alabama, you and me. You might not have known that you did this, but you did. Your being a part of the Episcopal Diocese of Alabama helped to rebuild a home for Kirvin Jones, the pastor of Third Street Church of God in Greensboro, Alabama. Kirvin spoke at our diocesan convention in February, and if there was a dry eye in the room, I did not see it. He spoke of our faith. He spoke of our love. He spoke of our being the body of Christ in Greensboro, Alabama. He said that one would expect someone to care for their own, but that we care for strangers. Strangers like him, who most of the diocese will never know. The tears flowed out of joy, mostly. Joy in knowing that we had done the right thing. Joy in knowing that in the midst of tragedy, good things do happen. Joy in knowing that we are building bridges in places where bridges are needed. And joy in knowing that we really are God's SIM cards. We do sometimes share the imprint of God. We must care for this creation, for its people and its land, and mostly for its resources. We have spent too much time assuming that our resources are infinite and that it doesn't matter what we do. What we do does matter. How we live does matter. The choices we make do matter. Did something in our history cause the eruption of tornadoes last April? I don't know. But if our history did have an effect on this tragedy, it was not about our moral standards, but about our lack of care for the environment. Can we make a difference? Absolutely, without a shadow of doubt. And we do make a difference, each and every one of us. And sometimes we don't even know it. Please join with me in prayer. Loving Father of all, we humbly pray you to look graciously on the hurts and heartaches of those in our communities across Alabama who still suffer from the effects of the tornadoes last April. We pray especially for those who still live in great need, for those who sleep in a home not their own, for those who are unemployed, for those who do not have enough to eat, and for those grieving the loss of a loved one. Grant that we may put our whole trust and confidence in your mercy, bind us together in mutual love and service, and make us instruments of your healing and peace through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.